webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
So appreciative for that man, Robert Moore. And appreciative of you, beautiful humans. And greetings to you. This is Glenn Klein online. It is hump day. Wednesday, March 14th, 2012. The only March 14th, 2012 in the history of humanity.
That you'll ever do. Two can be as bad as one. It's the loneliest number since the number one.
One is not the loneliest number, I'm happy to report, ladies and gentlemen. It is a plentiful number. Welcome in on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. What a difference a gospel makes. And please welcome online without any delay. Let us go to the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, to the president and founder of said revolution, the Grand Poobah, the most high and holy reverend, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening, Brother Glenn.
Michael, we are so thankful for you, and good evening to you, for bringing us this gospel that has completely turned that very popular song by Three Dog Night on its head. We have found out through this process and through this journey that one is far from the loneliest number.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny that you played that. I suppose, do a little bit of name dropping, but the organ player in that group was a friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah, Randy Cutlip.
Randy Cutlip from Three Dog Night.
From Three Dog Night was a friend of mine. Sounds like another good old rock song, I guess.
Yeah, Jesus. Jesus was a friend of mine. You know, here's the thing about the concept of One, which of course is the title of Mike's upcoming book, the concept of being alone apart from the gospel is really lonely. I mean, it is the loneliest number. But when you realize, scripturally speaking, and from a gospel perspective, what one actually means, that can bring quite a bit of joy to your soul.
Yeah, you know, that's the odd thing about playing the song. I think that that was a issue actually for Randy. Randy passed away a few years ago, and I think that really was one of his big problems, was feeling alone. And it's something that a lot of people experience, but the awesome thing about the gospel is it's just the equation of one. It is actually a very powerful number, even if it means you being alone. I have to admit that being alone was always one of the things that I avoided at all costs until I basically was forced into exile by myself. And I have found it to be one of the most rewarding things that's ever happened to me, is to learn to be alone. So, on any level, no more is the loneliest number, that is for sure. And one, when it comes to the work of the cross, the work of one man, thank God we got totally left out of the equation of one. You know, one means one. It doesn't mean two. And
in the song they say one is the loneliest number, but also two is as lonely as one. Yeah. You know, so often we talk on this radio program, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, we want your participation in it. Sean is waiting and willing to take your phone calls tonight at 1-800-436-3260. That is the toll-free number in the United States and Canada, 800-436-3260. If you're listening live and it's about 10 minutes to 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S., that is means you're listening right now, and we want to hear from you. And if you're listening around the world at this time, you can call, too, at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773 is the worldwide number that will get you right here into the studios in the Bay of the Holy Spirit, the original name of Tampa Bay, Florida. But we talk a lot, Michael, on the show about how much the gospel influences the arts, because musicians and writers and producers and directors and actors and writers of poetry, like our poet laureate, Jackie Bernard, they are unhindered by religion, and the gospel comes out of their heart.
Yeah, and honestly, they are, for a large part, just unhindered by their own brain.
Right.
Many people that are in the arts, this is a heart thing. It is not a brain thing whatsoever. And to get into that space, that place, I mean, you can hear them talk about it, and they'll almost talk about an almost out of body experience,
right,
with their art and their craft. And it's directly from their heart, and without the interruption of religion, it, even though they may have religion in their brain, the power of a talent or a gift like that can just bypass the brain and just come spilling over. It really is an amazing thing to experience and to be a part of in any way.
Well, and of course, a lot of the artists coming up, and the most creative people we know, from Walt Disney to Jim Morrison to Jimi Hendrix to Steve Jobs, who said that dropping acid was one of the most powerful things he ever did, they do kind of circumvent their brain or expand their brain through these psychedelics. And one group of people that we know definitely did came up with this Gospel Revolution song.
Say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Michael, the Beatles did that under the influence of psychedelics, and they said, you know, you want a revolution. We all want to change the world. We all want to change the world. Christians want to change the world, too. But they want to change the world into their image. What's the heart of the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries with regard to wanting to change or touch the world?
Well, it's the influence of exactly what we opened the show up with. It's the influence of the number one, that we are one. That is the gospel, the revelation of the gospel. The only way the human race, everybody knows the end game of this. They all know that the important thing is that we are one. Lion King knows that, for God's sake. And that is the end game. But nobody can get to the end game. Nobody can get to the we are all one. Well, we're one. There's even Buddhism tries to teach that we are one, but it does, the message is never coherently conceived in the mind. And that's where it does need to take place, because outside of just a tremendous gift overriding those situations of the brain and the preconceived notions, then the mind really does have to get involved in this heart issue. So it's an education to that point. And again, we all know the end game. Everybody knows that being one is the solution. But doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of information out there about how one brought the solution, and how it, and the reason it only took one to bring the solution, it was only one that brought the problem. So that equation all the way through this magnificent story that is recorded so well through the scriptures, its conclusion is that we are all one, not just with each other, but with God himself.
1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number in Canada and the United States. Get on the phone, folks. 1-800-436-3260 and 813-425-5773 worldwide. We're going to be talking about the importance of understanding our oneness from the scriptures tonight. We're going to be talking about the concept of this one man, Adam, having his sin imputed to the entire human race, and having the last Adam that Paul called Yeshua, having his righteousness imputed to everybody since, and even redeeming to the point of redeeming Adam's fall, if you will, to the point, Michael, that Paul said that the grace of God more than made up for unrighteousness, more than made up for the how could it be more than what Adam did? How could Yeshua's influence be more than Adam's influence on the human race?
Well, because he's God.
Okay.
And when you when you're measuring out sin, sin that came from man could only be on level of man, but a righteousness that comes from God was measured out by the grace of God, which is greater than the oceans of all of this world and many more multiplied like it. So the measure of sin was met with a measure that wasn't just equal to in righteousness. It was overflowing righteousness, the prophet spoke of, righteousness that would flow to the deepest of valleys and, you know, between every rock, every crevice of the planet, and that it would be a flood of righteousness. And that flood has literally taken place already, and the human race has been flooded with the righteousness of God. And that righteousness brought an end. That this flood of righteousness brought an end to the righteousness of man. So man, once again, died in a flood. He died, and this time he died in a flood of righteousness.
Yeah, you know that. As I said, we're going to be talking about the scriptures and its typology. What a great foreshadowing of that flood of righteousness was the flood of Noah, completely, ladies and gentlemen, consuming the world.
Yeah.
One of the great explanations that I remember you making about how this grace could be more than the fall of Adam was that, of course, the concept in Christianity is that God, literally his plan is to return us to the Garden of Eden. And I remember you saying that one of the reasons that the grace of God was superior, I mean, not just superior, but more than the fall of Adam, was because instead of the Christian concept of God returning the Garden of Eden to planet Earth, God has now put the Garden of Eden inside every human being through the Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah, the concept of Christianity, as far as comparing the grace of God that Christianity tries very lamely to present to the world, which is no grace at all. It's either grace or it's no grace at all. Which that's what Paul said. He talked about people preaching another gospel, which he said which is not a gospel at all. But that really is true. That that it is by that one, and we did not get returned to the garden. Christianity is all the time inferring that the goal of the cross, the work of the cross takes us back to the state that man was in, that Adam was in before the fall. And I guarantee you, if anybody goes to church naked, you're gonna be run off. So,
well, it's just the kingdom of God has not arrived yet, Michael. Don't you know that?
And I actually heard teaching on that, on the kingdom of God, that when the kingdom of God was manifested here on earth, that we would not wear clothes anymore. That literally was teaching in one of the churches that I attended.
Well, there are places in Tampa, I can tell you.
The kingdom of God has come to Tampa.
It has arrived at Caliente Resort, for sure. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. Waiting to hear from you on the toll-free or the worldwide numbers. Sean, very patiently, and Tanner than he was last week, I'm happy to report. He has taken care of business here at the Sun Bar, where our studios reside here in the Tampa Bay region. This one, this Michael, I mean, the gospel, whether it be through the arts or through other venues and other medium, has in media has is permeating. I mean, on the Facebook, there is a wall called Doctrines of Oneness, Doctrines Plural of Oneness.
Yeah,
we know that Buddhism has a level of oneness. And the Dalai Lama, of course, representative of that oneness on the planet and teaching universal peace, if you will. And something that came across our screen today that we sent out to all the beautiful humans that are getting the Gospel Revolution Good Newsletter, they saw a report that actually came from our dear brothers and sisters in Australia. And we love the Australians. I mean, we... Between Barris Bartlett and Kate Benham and I mean, so many people from Australia, David Dwyer just comes to mind right now. The Australians have a great sense of humor. And so this Australian news reporter, Michael, was interviewing the Dalai Lama, and he decided he would break out a oneness joke on the Dalai Lama.
Now, as you know, I did share a gag with Dalai Lama because he was in such fine form. I decided that I would tell this gag. Now, it did prove to be not my most successful ever. Check it out.
So the Dalai Lama walks into a pizza shop.
Pizza shop,
right?
Pizza?
Pizza shop, yes.
Yeah, pizza shop. And says, can you make me one with everything?
What's that? That's what it is. Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean? Can you make me one with everything?
Oh, theoretically possible.
Oh, I knew that wouldn't work.
He laughed more at the fact that it didn't work.
He didn't know what pizza was. It's always going to fall down there, isn't it?
You know that a joke's in trouble if you've got a translator off to the side every couple of words.
Anyway, I felt better having spoken to him. And I think everyone who talks to him does.
With everything. Because it's a pizza. And he's the...
You should have said the lot. One with the lot.
One with the lot.
No.
Maybe it was a hamburger.
All right. So you guys just go to the Friends of Mike Williams, the Gospel Revolution on Facebook. And if you're not getting the good newsletter, I mean, we send these clips out and stuff. I mean, it's priceless. Michael, he had the Dalai Lama sitting there, and he breaks out a oneness joke, and the Dalai Lama did not get it.
He didn't get it, did he?
I think
here's the one with everything. He didn't get the pizza joke.
He did not get the one with everything pizza joke. Here's the difference between the Dalai Lama and the Dalai Lama of the Gospel Revolution. Michael has a sense of humor and gets it. One of the things we like to laugh about most is about ourselves.
Well, it is the funniest thing going sometimes. So it's very freeing to know that you can laugh at yourself, and in fact to actually look for the things that are pretty funny about what you say and what you do, not in the attempt to be funny, but in the being funny without any attempt whatsoever to try to achieve that goal.
Now, I mean, it's classic, though, you guys. I mean, here's this, you know, very handsome Australian news reporter telling the Dalai Lama a joke that he's in. It's phenomenal. All right. Well, speaking of the Dalai Lama and people across the globe, we got an email today from our dear brother, Moses Nagata Gachau out of Kenya.
We did.
And hadn't heard from him for a couple of weeks. And he says, Jambo, guys, which, of course, is the Kenyan greeting. Jambo. We love that. He says, hi, Mike and Glenn. Hello to all the gospel revolutionaries around the world. I've been quiet for some time. This is due to my access to the internet. I walk 68 kilometers to and from where I access the net, but I don't feel it because the materials and knowledge I want to acquire. The man walks 68 kilometers, Michael, to listen to the webcast.
Yeah, it makes you feel... If we were comparing ourselves, it would make anyone feel ridiculous for thinking that they had to stop and remember to listen to the webcast when, you know, we've got somebody that walks over 42 miles to be able to hook up to the internet. Yeah, so that's humbling to think that anyone does that at all, and to be able to listen to the gospel and then actually says that the 42-mile walk doesn't really bother him at all because of what he gets by getting into trying to find the understanding that he has of the gospel and have that to evidently it's not just renewing his mind, it must be renewing his body too.
Well, you know, those Kenyans are famous for being marathon runners.
They can get across a place in a quick second.
But this is longer, folks. This is almost two marathons.
Yeah.
That Moses does in Kenya to listen to the webcast. So he's got a series of questions, but they're all based on the same subject, and we certainly owe it to him.
Well, we definitely do.
This gets back to the first one. It's based on Adam. It's a great series of questions, but as I said, it's the same topic. So he says, was Adam the righteousness of God before the fall?
No.
Was the gospel relevant to him before the fall? If the gospel was presented to Adam, then would he have fallen to the deception of Satan? And it seems the gospel becomes relevant after the fall. Could it be right to say that we are enjoying the gospel today because of the fall? In other words, the fall brought about the relevance of the gospel.
Well, the answer to all of the questions is, first off, it is no. To elaborate just a bit on the last one, and we can on any of the rest of them also, I would not say that we are enjoying the gospel because of the fall, because that would imply deliberate intent, and I don't know that is true, so... But as a result of the fall, definitely experienced the gospel as a result of that.
All right, so Adam was not the righteousness of God. He was created in the image of God.
He was in the image of God, so he would have been in the image of God's righteousness also.
Right, so he was not the exact mirror or the exact duplicate of righteousness, which we are on this side of the cross.
Right.
And do you think if it was possible that the gospel was presented to Adam prior to the serpent or Satan through the serpent conniving and deceiving Eve and Adam, could he have withheld the deception?
Well, first off, let me address that we have a duplicate. We do not have a duplicate of God's righteousness. We have God's righteousness.
Thank you.
And the relevancy of hearing a gospel before the cross, that would have been like speaking, you know, Chinese to uh, you know, a boy raised in the South. It just
or Australian to the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe a little bit more complicated than even that. But there would have been absolutely no point of reference. The gospel is relevant to us because of the points of reference that we have in the scripture. So to have gone back and to have shared, quote, the gospel with Adam would have been completely and utterly ineffective.
All right, so on this side of the cross,
it is completely and utterly effective.
Right. And the key, of course, is to know this, because the flood has happened. The flood of righteousness has happened. Mm-hmm. People are just not aware. And of course, our goal in the Gospel Revolution, folks, is to get this message out that everybody's good to go with God. Everybody's one. Everybody is one with each other and one with themselves, by the way. We want to reach a billion people with this message. We have no idea how many people understand the gospel. I mean, it probably is less than a million people on the planet right now.
Yeah.
You think?
I would say that would be a fairly safe, and that is excluding anything that we would know, somebody in another language, in another place, that would have been able to understand the gospel and understand the scriptures, which anyone could. It's just getting through the melees of religion to get to it. But, yeah, you know, I would say it'd be safe to say under a million for sure.
Now, this whole image of God, and you talked about, from a scriptural standpoint, the answers that you gave to Moses, because that's the basis for your answers, are the scriptures.
Yeah.
And we know after all this time, beautiful humans, that the scriptures are strictly the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. And you said something, actually you wrote something about the scriptures, and I want to tie this into the series of articles, Michael, you spoke about, or that you wrote over the last month or so. Here's what you said about the scriptures. You just wrote this today. This is going to be part of the book that is in the last editing phase, folks. Mike's book one, The Gospel According to Mike, The Christianity Free Gospel. You said, before establishing what the scriptures are over 20 years ago in Tulsa, Oklahoma, this is you're speaking now, and accepting only Jesus' definition of the scriptures, confirmed by the writers of the New Testament, the terms precise, accurate, concise simply were not usable in determining truth based on the scripture. Without a single doubt, no one who expands the scriptures beyond the law, the Psalms, and the prophets can have a single clue what the truth of the gospel is.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a pretty amazing statement.
You know, you can begin to learn the gospel without knowing what the scriptures are. I think many, many have seen the gospel, but then when the attempt to try to share that with other people begins to ensue, you get met with a barrage. Believe me, I know. I know the experience very well, and you're met with a barrage of verses, and that barrage is going to come from New Testament writings. It's going to come mainly from Peter, James, and John, which Peter, James, and John completely refute the gospel. They unequivocally refute the gospel of peace. And they refute the gospel of grace.
They called Paul names because Paul was promoting the gospel.
Yeah, and Paul called them names because they were not promoting the gospel. So they were both name callers, but the issue is that is a very human thing to do. But the fact of it is that there is the gospel that Paul was sharing is in the scriptures. The scriptures do declare what Paul taught about the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. I don't know that everything that Paul had to say was a revelation of the gospel. In fact, I know it wasn't, because he told them he left his coat at Troas and be sure and bring it. I'm sure that is not a gospel revelation.
Well, that could be. But one thing we know that because we know it, we know it, but we also know that Paul contradicted himself was his earlier decision to have Timothy circumcised as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he also spoke, according to dealing with the man that was having a sexual relationship with his stepmother in the 1 Corinthians, he told him to not even acknowledge that he was alive, and definitely.
That was not a gospel issue either.
Yes. And then later on, he asked them why they were being so tough on this guy, that they should entreat him like a brother. So obviously.
Whoa. Really?
Yes.
All right. So Paul reams this guy out, and then later on, we learn that Paul is saying, why are you being so tough on this guy?
Oh, yeah. No, he doesn't ream the guy out. He tells the people that this guy is not, that he is the one he's referring to in 1 Corinthians, that they should not eat with him. They should not, they shouldn't be around him, nothing. And then he makes reference to the same person again in 2 Corinthians and says, I just don't get it. I don't understand why you are treating him this way. You should entreat him as a brother. So. in 1 Corinthians.
You think that's what is meant by growing in grace? Was Paul growing in grace?
I don't know. I'm not sure about the term growing in grace, even itself. That's actually a statement made by Peter, and I'm not sure that we grow in grace.
What do we do?
We grow in our understanding of grace. I'm not real sure that you actually grow in the grace of God.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is that the grace itself is getting bigger and bigger, and grace itself, I don't think, ever gets bigger and bigger. It's like righteousness is not a duplicate. Grace is not something that comes in anything other than the measure that it was given out, which is far above, much more, as Paul taught in Romans chapter 5. It's not something it's the same thing. Peter put it in the same thing as growing in faith, growing in grace, growing in these things, and that you would actually, they put those terms as things that you actually increase in, which is a very foundational in the Word of Faith movement, that you are growing in your faith and growing in grace and all of these things. But as far as grace itself is concerned, I'm sure as far as if we talk about understanding, your understanding of it does grow for sure. But grace itself is not measurable at all. It is already, no matter where you experience the grace of God, it's far greater than anything you've ever experienced or ever will experience, even if you experience it again and again.
You're such a stickler.
I know.
And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, Michael made the decision to not declare that God was corrupted in the previously mentioned four-part series on the holy, corrupted God. And when we get back, we're going to be talking about that series and about the scriptures and about defining or articulating God as corrupt. We want to take your calls, too, at 800-436-3260. It always takes that first call. Who's going to call first tonight? 800-436-3260 or 813-425-5773. Around the world, because you know what? What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
The world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
The incredible responsibility that we have as believers to speak up when the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets is spoken of as though they were nothing. I speak concerning the judgments that are spoken of by Peter in his writings, and I condemn them. Isaiah didn't say this is a rule, you got to do this. He said this is your heritage, that we should condemn every tongue that rises in judgment. And you should let no one stand and speak as though it is nothing.
That was Mike Williams in the new teaching series entitled A Scriptural Peace, recorded at the 2010 Southeast Conference, and is now available on the GospelRevolution.com website. This 5-CD series, The Scriptural Peace, can be yours for $40 plus shipping and handling. You can also take advantage of a special offer to download an audiobook version to your iPod or computer for just $20. For that download link, please email a request to freedom@GospelRevolution.com. That's freedom@GospelRevolution.com. A Scriptural Peace. Get your copy today.
You have a heritage.
As God is our witnesses, as God is our witness, we do not schedule these commercials based on the topic. Jeff picks them out before the webcast, but that very well produced commercial by the very lovely and talented Robert Moore, Michael. I mean, that said it all. I mean, that was the series that you did in Georgia, and yeah. You condemned. Not only did you condemn the teachings of Peter in Georgia. But at the that series is available at GospelRevolution.com, you guys. But also at the summit in Tampa last summer, you taught. This is why you can definitively say that James, Peter, and John not only contradicted the gospel, they came against it because you taught their teachings in context.
I taught their gospel. Yes, I did. And it was one of the most gratifying things that I've ever done. To be able to very clearly delineate. I can teach Peter's doctrine, James and John and Jude's doctrine. Jude just seems to have did a Xerox copy out of 2 Peter. But I can teach their doctrines. But to teach it clearly, I don't like to teach it unless that I do as they did and leave the fullness of God's grace out of their teachings and leave out the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace because it is not in there. It is not in their teachings. It just is not there. There is no gospel of peace there. I challenge anybody to find anything where these guys declared that God was not angry with anyone anymore. That issue with these guys, with Jesus's disciples, is not one that I choose to draw the line on. I mean, this is the line that is drawn by the scriptures, and that's why it is so vitally important to know what they are. If you are left thinking that New Testament writings are all scripture, all breathed by God, and you have to make it all fit, you're going to come up with a mess, and that mess is going to be Catholicism and current-day evangelical Christianity. And it is a mess, folks. I'm telling you, almost 50,000 denominations around the world, and there's no clarity. Even those that have these doctrines, there's no clarity. Their doctrines are filled with if and but and maybe because they have to filter in Paul's teaching. And if you try to bring Paul's teaching into the disciples, it doesn't work. But I really enjoyed teaching their doctrine and doing it completely in the context of their writing. If you read these guys, they come from a standpoint of Moses. You'll find that all of their teachings are a reference, their point of reference and their start of origin is Moses. Paul's teachings start with Adam, and the difference between the two is monumental as to what conclusions you draw.
And we're not talking about Moses Ngatagacha, ladies and gentlemen, of Kenya. Yeah. We're talking about the original Moshe.
The original, the first one at least.
The first one is an original.
He's just not the first one.
Right, the first one that we knew about. Anyway, Moshe in Hebrew. This is Glenn Klein Online. Apparently, we were having some difficulties with our phones earlier, but they are up and operational now. We want you guys to give us a call at 800-436-3260. Sorry if you were trying to call and couldn't get through. 800-436-3260, 813-425-5773. We're going to be talking about the scriptures as we progress here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. We also have a message from a relative new gospel revolutionary, Shane Windorsky, who is loving our bumper music tonight. So thanks, Shane.
Awesome.
And let us go now to God's country, to beautiful Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Please welcome online the very lovely, we are so glad to hear from her tonight, Ms. Jan Heller. Jan!
Hello.
Hello, Jan. How are you? How are you? So happy to hear from you.
If I start talking like that, I'm leaving.
It could be worse, Jan. I could be speaking in tongues. It could be worse.
Okay. How are you guys? It's so good to hear you.
We're doing great, and it is awesome to hear from you. How are you this evening?
I'm good, thanks. I took down earlier, and I just had picked up when Mike was talking about the flood. Just I caught a little bit of that. And Noah, and that's been something that was on my mind recently. And you know me, when I call in, I kind of jump around, so you kind of have to decipher what I'm saying. But I had a couple questions about that. But before I do, I just have to share something real quick, because I know you guys have a sense of humor, and you'd said that, and you've been talking about oneness, so I have to share something. I went to the store the other day. And I got to the store, and I'm looking around. I ran into a couple of friends I know, and then so they left. And I looked down. I went to pick up something off the shelf down lower, and I looked down, and I had two completely different shoes on my feet. And I'm walking around the mall. I had one brown, one flat one, and then a boot one, a black one. And I went, oh, my gosh, I am walking around with two different shoes on. And no one said anything to me. And so then, and one was brown, I got out of there, and I was laughing so hard at myself. And then I was embarrassed, and I thought, as you guys were talking, I thought, how can I spiritualize this oneness? I think I got to figure this out with my feet, how to get...
Well,
I'm in one accord here.
we were talking earlier about the influence of the gospel on the arts. So one of the great movies and redemption stories of all time, of course, is Tim Robbins in Shawshank Redemption. And he, if you remember that movie, he literally gets out. He's wearing the warden's shoes as he's walking to his cell. And his comment, and it's so apropos for your story tonight, Jan, his comment is, how often does somebody look at your shoes? And apparently you found that to be the same as Tim Robbins and Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Jan,
I was listening.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
No, I watched that little clip tonight, too, about the Dalai Lama, and I was laughing so hard. But so anyway, just to kind of put that aside, when it comes to Noah.
All right. Hold on. We're going to hold on Noah for a second, because I have to point out to everybody that has been listening to the webcast the last month or more. The last time Jan called, that's when Mike got his latest Gospel Revolution title, which was the Lunesta of the Gospel Revolution.
Oh, yes.
Because Jan's mother falls asleep to Mike's teaching every night.
You guys, this is so true. I just ordered the Hebrews, the teachings on Hebrews. Then I got those last week, and my mom, I asked her today, I said, Mom, are you ready for the CD number two now? Because she's had number one for like a week or two.
Right.
Well, I'm still on number one because I fall asleep with it, so I have to listen during the day some more.
Jan, tell your mom she's in good company as part of one, this one company. That we like to talk about, this gospel revolution that everybody on the planet is part of. Your mom is very much a part of it, because I can confirm the first time that was taught, Chris Harrington of Nacogdoches, Texas, was passed out on the carpet at the Marriott in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And so... And of course,
Chris
was visiting Michael recently, and we were hoping to have him on, but he fell asleep listening to the webcast in the next room.
Yes, he did.
That's called being at peace, ladies and gentlemen. All right, so let's get back to Noah. I'm sorry. Let's go back to Noah.
Well, I had a question, too, because about the flood. I'm not sure what all that meant, and you don't have to go into any detail now, but there was, what, 10 people left? Would they have 4 sons and his daughters and Noah and his wife? Am I correct there?
Right.
That were...
Yes,
okay.
Noah and Ada.
And everyone else died. Why weren't they all taken? Why... I mean, what did it have to do with the faith issue? Why did God spare them? I mean, maybe I'm not making it clear.
No, that's a fantastic question. Why was Noah and the 9 others spared, Michael?
It's based on promise, and that was, it's one of the best stories that we can get to follow the thread of promise. One thing you'll see throughout the scriptures is the thread of promise, that there are things that are interrupted and not done according to the law because they're being done according to the promise of God. And the very same, that we follow that all the way through, and we find out that Jesus and his priesthood was not after the law, but he was made a priest based on the promise. So these manifestations that we have, not just of Noah and his family, but probably several others, these are all, and people, and it's a wonderful question. We have Enoch that walked with the Lord and was not, and, you know, a lot of, just several different things where that there are these, this thread that follows through, that something is done based on promise and it's not based on the law whatsoever. So really that is a manifestation of the promise of God. Of course, the ark is all very symbolic of Jesus and that they were there based on the promise of God, and they had survived because of the promise. We survive the judgment of God because of the promise also.
One of the things that you bring out in the book so beautifully is that Christians and religious people around the world have no problem believing that God promised with the sign of the rainbow that he would never flood the earth again the way he did with Noah. And yet, for some reason, they cannot accept the promise of the cross, of the prophecies in the scriptures that declared that when the anointed one would come, Michael, that there would be an eternal peace.
Yes.
The Prince of Peace. They call him the Prince of Peace, for God's sakes.
Absolutely. And see, all of that is based on promise. That is not based on law. So people who are make reference, even as Peter, James, and John did, is when their reference point is Moses, you kind of lose the promise, and our reference point, because we choose the reference point to go all the way back to Adam, I think it's much easier to pick up the thread of the promise and follow it all the way through, that we are the children of promise. We are not children of the law. That we're not the children of disobedience, as Paul stated very clearly, that the wrath of God had to come upon the children of disobedience. And the wrath of God did come upon the children of disobedience. But you see, we are the children of. It's just like that verse. And let me stop with and focus on that just a moment, because it is worthy of our time. It doesn't say that the wrath of God would come on the disobedient. He said it would come on the children of disobedience. That is the children of Adam.
Right.
See, we are the children of disobedience. Therefore, we are, it's like me being the child of a Williams. Therefore, I am a Williams. The children of disobedience are the children of Adam.
Right. Well, we weren't the children.
No, we are the children of promise. We are the. In fact, we're not even the children. We now not only are not the children of disobedience. We are the sons of righteousness.
Yeah.
And
why don't you explain that for a second? What the difference between children and sons is?
Well, the whole comparison that Paul made and his reflection back to the scriptures and the law was that we were held as prisoners, as children, under the law. You know, Jesus made reference to this all the way through his teachings in the New Testament. But the issue here is the difference between being children and being sons. When you are a child, you don't really have authority over your own life. But now we are the sons of God, and we are not the children of disobedience. And we were adopted into sonship. You do not, in the kingdom of God, you do not slowly grow into sonship. There's a whole teaching in Christianity that has this long, slow process of growing into sonship, growing into righteousness, growing into a lot of things. I guess
growing into grace.
I don't like the growing thing.
Growing into grace. That's
right.
What you said earlier.
Is that this is not something you grow into. It is something we were translated into, and it was imputed unto us. This totally supersedes the natural process, if you will, that we were children as far as people that before the cross they were children of disobedience, and now we are the sons of obedience. We are the sons of the obedience of God and the obedience of Christ Himself. So it's the promise, the promise that was left us. The promise came before the law came, and even the law could not disannul the promise.
Right, and in the same way, Michael, which you've said so profoundly on so many times, that the gospel redeems nobody.
Yes.
The law made nobody a sinner. Paul made that clear.
Absolutely. Both are tools. The law is a tool of revelation. The gospel is a tool of revelation. That is where they are exactly alike. The law was a tool of revelation because of a condition that was imputed by the first Adam, and law was given to so that we could gain a revelation of that condition and a revelation, therefore, of the true problem. And then the gospel has been given unto us to give us a revelation of righteousness, and that is the righteousness of God. And as we were speaking of earlier, that is just one righteousness. So the gospel doesn't make anyone righteous the same way that the law never made a man a sinner. Both are tools of revelation.
Mm.
Okay.
Both are tools of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jan, I don't know how your mom goes to sleep to that. I mean, that pumps a bunch of adrenaline in me. But we're happy for it.
Me too.
One of our gospel revolutionaries said that for years when he listened to Michael, he thought he was gaining peace and gaining a sense of stability in his soul because of Mike's soothing voice, which he does have, of course. But we know it's actually the gospel that he teaches and shares.
Right, right.
It's to the saving of our soul.
I listen at night too. There's nights, you know, I just can't sleep, and I just plug them in my ear and lay there, and you know, I'm listening. And I'm just going, oh my God, it is. You know, I just like this warmth comes over me because so much of this is unfolding, and then next thing I know, I wake up and I thought, oh no, where did I leave off? So I'll have to pick back up, but
yeah,
it does because it gets my mind off the daily things and the troubles or the you know whatever's going on that day.
Yep.
It takes me completely out of my own self, out of my thoughts, and gets it all out of the way.
Well, I'm going to tell Jeff we have to start advertising that the tapes we're selling them to listen to.
No, they're called CDs now, Michael.
Yeah, the CDs that we're selling, they are for you to listen to. And if you start using them, but if you knowingly are buying them to help you sleep, you have to pay double.
Right. Right. Except in Canada, this is like a prescription for Lunesta or for Ambien. It's always more expensive in the United States, but in Canada, it's cheaper. We know the pharmaceuticals are cheap. Hey, Jan.
Well,
go ahead. Yep. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I just figured that if I fall asleep, that my carnal mind, I guess, is out of the way you say it. It's going into my spirit mind, so I'm taking it all in anyway.
Exactly. That's exactly right. It's circumventing the religion that's in our brains and plugging into the righteousness that is, as Michael said, the righteousness is there. We just need to learn more about it. Hey, Jan, we just heard from Howard Wirch in Dauphin, Manitoba. He says, hi, Glenn and Mike. Enjoying the webcast while at work. Love you guys. Jan, you would love Howard and Amanda Wirch. I mean, they are two incredible, beautiful humans in Manitoba.
I'm still, hoping that one day I'm going to get to one of these summit meetings. I'm not giving up, so.
All right. Well,
we aren't either.
I'll get there one day.
they're coming fast and furious. We've got another one coming in Calgary. At the end of June, early July. So you need to get there. All right.
Well, we'll keep things going, and one day I'll get to one of these, and be nice to meet you guys and say hi.
Well, Jan, what you need to do now is you need to go back in the near future and listen to Michael's answer to your question, because let me tell you something, it was thick. I mean, I'm sitting here getting saved just listening to his explanation of the whole situation with Noah.
Yeah.
And the promise. And, oh, my goodness. It's just such good stuff. Hey, thanks for taking the time to call.
Okay.
Tell your mom.
Thank you, guys.
Tell your mom that we love her. And, by the way, also on your last call, we heard for the first time from, is it Janet Markey or Jeanette?
Hannah.
Is it Jeanette or Janet?
Hannah. You mean my granddaughter Hannah?
No, Jeanette Markey. She said she said she's your ex sister in law.
Yes, she's my girl. Yeah, she's family.
Wait a minute, Jan. Are you telling me you love your ex sister in law?
Yeah, she's my ex daughter in law.
Oh, your ex daughter.
She's married to my son.
Oh, your ex daughter. That's even worse, or better.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No. She's my baby girl. I called her all my girls.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah, we're close. I just love her. That girl's been through a lot, and she loves God. It's good.
She loves the gospel. She made that clear.
She does.
Yeah, she
inspires me.
Well, the next time you talk to her, tell her we sent our love.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'll have to go back and listen and give her a call. Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Jan.
Good.
All right. Good night, Jan.
Good night. Good night.
There's Jan Heller from God's country.
Good night is right. She's going to sleep.
Here's my problem, Michael. As you know, when we get done with the webcast, I'm not ready to go to sleep. I'm ready to talk more about the gospel.
Yeah, no, it's true.
What's up with that?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what you need at the time.
Point well taken. What we need right now is for somebody to pick up their phone and give us a call at 800-436-3260. That's a toll-free number in the aforementioned Canada and the United States of America. 1-800-436-3260. Get Sean busy. And if you're listening worldwide, we'd love to hear from you. And it's about 18 minutes until the end of the program. You've got time at 18 to 10 on Wednesday night. If that's the time in the East Coast of the U.S. when you're listening, you can give us a call at 813-425-5773. And you guys that want to listen live, we got an email tonight, and I'm not going to be able to find it, but it was from a dear sister in Alberta, Michael, in Edmonton, who wanted to know what time the webcast was on live in Edmonton, which you'll be happy to know. We researched, and we found out it was at 6:45 Edmonton time.
Mountain time.
Yeah, mountain time. Did they call it mountain time in Canada?
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. So give us a call.
The mountains go right through Alberta, as go through Colorado.
You have taught the gospel from the furthest east coast of Canada to the furthest west coast of that great continental nation.
I have, and I've gone extremely north in that country also. And I remember being, and of course there are times that you can see the northern lights, pretty far south. But I was just trying to remember the name of some of the places that I've been. The furthest north that I've been, well, I've been in north in quite a few of the provinces. I remember early on I was in Timmins, Ontario, which that's like where the last road ends is Timmins, and that is where And here I'm going to tell us a name, and I can't think of it, and she's one of my favorite country music artists.
Not Kelly Clarkson. Not Kelly Clarkson.
No. Oh, my. Well, maybe it'll come to me. But anyway, Timmins is way north in Ontario, and honestly, when I was there, that's where the road ended. And also very far north in Alberta and also in British Columbia. And
Has the furthest east you've been to New Brunswick in Fredericton with the Wilbies?
Oh, no. The furthest east is I think, even further east than that, and that's Nova Scotia.
You've been to Nova Scotia to teach the gospel?
No, yes.
What is wrong with you? You guys, all you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com and click on Invite Mike. He'll come to your living room. So many of the series that you hear that are literally, I mean, you talk about revolutionary revelations, have been taught in people's living rooms.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The first time that Michael came public with the redemption of the world, that was a three-tape series. And no, Carla, it was not a track. It was actually cassette tapes. That was done in my living room with about six people. And that series, we know, was duplicated and sent all over the world, including translated into Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah, no doubt. As a result of a meeting that I did in Canada once again. So.
No, that particular meeting. Oh, the translation was done.
Right, as
Canada.
A result of a meeting that I did in Canada where I had the tapes with me that were recorded in the living room there in Florida. So, yeah, they get around. I mean, my goodness, the tapes have always gotten around a lot more than I do even. And of course, now it's the CDs, as you pointed out earlier.
We just heard from Vic Dobrennan in Calgary saying it was Shania Twain that you were referencing.
Yes, he's right. Yes.
Shania Twain. Look at our gospel revolutionaries
yes,
all over the place.
Shania Twain is from Timmins, Ontario, and she would have been just a teenage girl when I was there, a very young girl, in fact, maybe even younger than teenage. But
she ain't no teenager anymore, my friend.
No, she is not. And I remember that we had more than the population. I think this is correct. This is one of those towns where we actually had more than the population of the town in the meeting.
I love when that happened.
Yeah.
All right, so let us get into the scriptures a little bit, because if you guys haven't read Mike's series, it's a four-part series. Just go to gospelrevolution.com and click on the Good News Letters archives. All four articles are there, including the final, perhaps the final article on the subject, at least for right now, at gospelrevolution.com on the topic, A Holy Corrupted God. And you suggested during the course of the articles that a God may have been corrupted before the cross. But then you concluded in this last article that you could not definitively define God as corrupted prior to the cross. Well, why did you make that declaration?
Because there's a this. See, this is the thing. Let me tell you one of the reasons that this whole the value of this series of articles is probably going to lie in this process than it is in the teaching itself. And I did not realize that until, you know, as they would say, pen was laid down on this, that the process of this is actually more valuable than the content of the teaching. And that is because people really do get a glimpse of what it's like to really question something and to study something and then know for sure what your parameters are for learning and being able to say, yes, I can accept this as truth, and no, I cannot accept that as truth. And in fact, I got an email from Mark Eaton saying that he was just really thrilled with it, because of how concise and precise that it was. And, you know, a lot of times when you hear people teach, They only teach on things that they're already persuaded of, which that is my MO for sure. But this was very unique. This was very unique because you were learning at the same time I was, either that or you knew this before I did, or you had had these questions before. But in this, you actually walked through the process of deducing whether or not something could be called scriptural, at least at this point. Because I do not know, while we can see the correlation very clearly between God, after God created man in his image, and then one of the first laws, if it wasn't the first, it was the second law that God gave, was don't create anything in after its image.
Why did he say that?
Well, he told man that if you ever create, he said don't create an image of anything in the sea, you know, fish or bird or on the land or anything, and then he said, if and specifically, don't create an image of yourself, male or female, because in because when you do, you will corrupt yourselves. It will corrupt you.
Right. So we suggested,
yes,
that God. This is literally what we did, or what Michael did, folks. Is you suggested, Michael, that God may have known about what he was talking about because he had experienced that already. But
yes,
the reason that you said and you concluded thus far in your study and in your journey on this topic that you could not definitively say that God was corrupt because the scriptures do not say it.
It doesn't just come right out and say it. And, you know, and I thought about this even since, and I thought about all of the doctrines that I've heard that people take just verses out of context and literally twist them into stories that aren't even there. And, there really was a sense of, I felt a sense of honor for the scriptures, that I really do respect the scriptures. And that is a wonderful feeling, to know that I do honor the scriptures. I honor them above all written material.
Bro, we were talking about this the other day, and as you guys know, this is just, the radio show is just a continuation of Michael's and my phone conversations, or our webcams. I think that you honor the scriptures more than you do your own reputation.
Oh, I think that that's true. I don't have any defense of my reputation. And
All right, so you're saying you do have a defense of the scripture. What is your defense of the scriptures?
Is that they are the this is our source. The scriptures are the source for truth. And the body document, as they coined that phrase sometimes within the last year or so, is the body of Jesus Christ. This is his body. This this body of law, this body of Psalms, and the body of prophecy, is all Jesus.
And you can say that because Yeshua said that about himself.
Yes,
and we've done a little bit of research, and we found out it's true, folks.
Oh my
gosh!
And
you guys have to understand, this is so important when we're talking about the scriptures. We are not talking about the Christian Bible. We're not even talking about the Jewish Bible. We're talking about specifically as Yeshua, salvation in Hebrew is Jesus. Yeshua defined, and the one thing that all the disciples agreed upon was what the scriptures were, which is strictly the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. And at least so far in our vast study, and we'll be doing this for the rest of our lives probably, we have not found one contradiction. We have found salvation. We have found Yeshua consistently through for whatever it's worth, folks, Mike Williams and Glenn Klein and those that agree with us, a part of the Gospel Revolution, believe actually in the same way that we believe the universe and the earth was created by the Almighty. We actually believe that if the creation has a creator, that creator was not only capable of manipulating and dictating a setup, a foreshadowing, if you will, of the coming Redeemer, but he told it, he inspired a people to write it down, and most of it was an oral tradition, and then eventually it did get written down, and these laws, psalms, and prophecies are holy writ. The New Testament writings are not. Yeah. We can prove that. Michael, we got to move along, and I was going to say unfortunately, but not unfortunately, because we've got a couple calls we want to get in before we got to get out of here. Let us go immediately to Castor, Alberta. Not Castor, Alberta, Alberta. Castor, Alberta, California. Cookie DeVita is on the line. Cookie!
Cookie DeVita, and it's Canada, bud.
Oh, it is Canada.
It is Canada.
My bad. Cookie David, do you forgive me, Cookie?
Hey, not a problem.
All right. What's going on tonight?
Well, you know, I was just listening to Michael saying that he had taught from coast to coast, or you had said he had. And do you know, the first time I heard Michael was years and years ago on a program that was out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. Pardon me. And it was called It's a New Day.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if Michael remembers way back then.
I remember way back then and even more, Cookie. And those were, let me tell you, those were real breakthrough meetings and broadcasts across Canada. Still speak of those, even as you are tonight, and how revolutionary it was for them. When I was on that program, and I was on a series of teachings there that were broadcast,
yes.
And that It's a New Day was would be kind of, and it's really grown. It's spread all over Canada now. And it would be like, the CBN, you know, here, Christian Broadcasting Network now. Mm-hmm. And every time I taught there, and we finished one of the shows with Willard Thiessen. I can't remember his wife's name, but he and his wife, she, after a while, chose not to participate because she really was not jiving well with what was being said. Willard seemed to be a little bit more open. And but the entire staff, and this is no exaggeration, people, when we ended the airing of each of those sessions that you saw that was mm-hmm. broadcast from there, when we went off the air, literally everyone came from the offices. There were like three steps up to the platform where this was being broadcast from,
right.
Where our set was. And literally everybody came out of all of the offices, all of their technical places and their jobs, and they all came and they gathered around and sat down on those steps and out away from it because there wasn't enough room for everybody there, and mm-hmm. sat down there and were just so immersed in the grace of God and had questions.
Wow.
And saying that, man, I've never heard this. And it was very impactful there, not just across Canada, but even including there in that studio, too. So,
yeah,
so you heard that was the first time you heard.
That's the first time I heard you, yes. And then, of course, you came to Lethbridge, and we were in a little house meeting. I don't remember the people's names, but a house meeting. And then we met in a, just a sort of a meeting room. I don't even know that it was in a church, but we had a meeting there, and then I was to Grace,
Grace
Conference.
Is it Grace?
Yeah.
Anyways, kiddo, you're doing a fantastic job.
You bring back an awful lot of wonderful memories.
Cookie, how far are you away from Calgary?
Well, you know, we're about 3 hours.
All right, Howie Wirch, who I mentioned before, who's listening at work right now, and by the way, he also said, what's her name?
Shania
Twain. Yeah, Howie was in there too. He and Manda came 12 hours from Manitoba. So
we're shaming you into coming. So.
No, I'm just stating a fact. If the gas prices aren't too high late in the summer or in the middle of the summer, just go to gospelrevolution.com and all the information is at the Carriage House in beautiful Calgary.
Absolutely, dear. But anyways, just keep up the good work. And golly, just great stuff, guys. You're way over my head, Michael. my head hurts. The lady that falls asleep to your teaching, bless her heart, because, you know, what happens to me is it's like, oh, my goodness.
Well,
but it's wonderful stuff.
Well,
wonderful.
You could always go back and listen on the archive, Cookie.
Absolutely, dear. Will do.
Do you get the newsletter? Do you get the good newsletter?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
So love you all.
All right, listen. Don't be a stranger, okay? Give us a call once in a while.
Yes, absolutely. I do have some good questions, but you know what? This is just good to hear you. And you take care. And
thank you.
We'll be in touch.
All right, Cookie.
Okay. God bless.
There's Cookie David from Castor, Alberta. There was no doubt that she's from Canada. And now let's continue north of the border. Let us go to Ontario. Ontario to Fenland Falls. Please welcome back online Ms. Marjorie. How's Marge?
Hi.
Hey, Marge.
How's things?
Oh, we're having so much fun tonight, Marge. To quote a famous broadcaster in the United States, we're having more fun than a human being ought to be able to have.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I called was I got the Hebrews teaching, Hebrews debunked.
Yes, and revealed. And revealed,
yes. And I just loved it. And I learned so much. And
oh,
I
wonderful.
Just
but did you fall asleep to it, though? That's what we want to know.
No, not at all.
Okay.
And, did you listen to all of it already?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't have a credit card, so my brother ordered it for me online. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to getting more teaching.
Oh, wonderful. And where are you now? Where in Ontario?
Fenland Falls, Ontario.
And where is that in relationship to Toronto? And
Toronto, about 3 hours northeast.
You're 3 hours northeast of Toronto, yeah.
And up in cottage country, kind of.
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. I got two lakes right beside me, Cameron Lake and Sturgeon.
Oh, I can almost see them now.
And the locks are here, and it's pretty here. It's really nice. I really like it here. I've been here about a year and a half.
Has it started thawing up there yet?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow it's supposed to go to 19 Celsius.
Oh, my God, 19 Celsius. That's balmy.
Yes.
And the snow's all melting, and the birds, it's just amazing. We're having an early spring, and I love it.
I hope
it stays like this, though.
March
is funny.
We got to run.
Marge, thank you for calling.
Stay in touch, and as I said to Cookie, do not be a stranger to this radio show.
Well, that's why I called. I just wanted to let you know that I listen to you, and I enjoy the podcast, and I love going into the archives and listening.
That's awesome. Thanks, Marge.
You're welcome.
There's
Bye-bye.
Marjorie House, ladies and gentlemen, from Fenland Falls, Ontario, and Howie Wirch. My dear brother, who I love, I'd like to kiss him on the lips right now. He says, from the memory bank, that meeting that Cookie referenced, Michael, was at Willer and Betty Thiessen's house.
Oh, was it at the Thiessen's house?
That's what he's saying, Willard and Betty Thiessen.
Wow. Well, he's got me stumped because I don't remember that one.
Well, that's not unusual, folks.
No, it isn't.
That's Gospel Revolutionary Trivia, though, for you, coming to you live from Dauphin, Manitoba. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be calling you like in 10 minutes so I can decompress.
Thank you guys so much for listening in and being a part. We appreciate all that you do and all that you are. And you're dear to our hearts, and we love you tremendously. Thank you. Love you, Glenn. Thank you so much.
Love you, Mikey. And we love Jan Heller, who called from Wisconsin, and Cookie David from Alberta, Marjorie House from Ontario, Howie Wirch we heard from, Victor Brennan we heard from Canada, Moses Nagata Gachow from Kenya, corresponding with Carla Barton from Palm River, Florida, and wow. I want to thank Jeff Robertson for everything that he does.
Oh, God, yes.
And also for coming up with tonight's title of this webcast, A Flood of Righteousness.
Good title.
Yeah, that's a good title, Roberts. Want to thank Sean O'Halloran for everything that he is doing and has done. Wow. All right, you guys, let us hear from you this week at gospelrevolution.com. You can email us. You can call us next week. We start the start of spring pledge drive next week. We're going to go an extra, about a half an hour. So, you'll get all the information. So stay logged on. We love you people. Until next time, this would be Glenn Klein Online saying shalom, everybody. This way.